Good evening. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Treewell. Tonight, I am joined by a very special guest, Shawna Coleman, the host of Different Dimensions podcast, a paranormal researcher, and independent journalist. Weird Part listeners, please give a warm welcome to Shawna Coleman.
Well, hello.
Happy to have you.
Thank you for having me, Vincent. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, my pleasure completely. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Shawna Coleman. I live in Dothan, Alabama. I'm part of a phenomenal paranormal team called Well Paranormal Group. We've been together for some years now. I'm a truck driver. That's what I do for a living. I absolutely love the paranormal. I love a lot of things that are different and strange. I don't get to go on as many investigations as I was like because of work, but I do try to get involved at, you know, with everything that we have coming up. I believe I'll free up some time for this year and be able to participate some more.
Yeah, sounds like you see a lot of the country. And I know that you've investigated some pretty interesting phenomena.
Yes.
How did you first become interested in the paranormal?
Well, growing up in Mobile, Alabama, as a little girl, we had a haunted house. And my mother would say their name is Spectre and Marty. I didn't really get it then because I was young. I was like 5 or 6. But it wasn't anything that we were taught to be afraid or to say that, you know, it's crazy or anything like that. My dad didn't talk about it as much, but my mother was always just, you know, open and mindful of it. So when we left, I knew that there's a different type of world because I had an aunt who was born with what they call a veil over her head. And that's like having the gift of sight to see things that nobody else can see. And some things that what my mother would tell us about some of the stories was, you know, kind of traumatic, but she could see it, but, you know, just other people couldn't. And then when I had a sister that could kind of sense stuff and an uncle who kind of dabbled in a different type of way, I was just always open to it. And then when I had the opportunity to actually join a team, I jumped on because I didn't really know at first that I would be part of a team. I just was fascinated with it, especially I didn't even realize that there was even a team in the area. But once Stan and Teresa and I got together after we left from a previous interesting, a lot of interesting things goes on.
Oh, yes. So when you were growing up and you're living in a house that has ghosts, did you have experiences?
No, I didn't. From what I can remember, I didn't. Not when I was little in that particular home in Mobile. I've heard my siblings talk about it, just about little noise or seeing stuff here and there. And my mom just, you know, brushing it off like, oh, that's just Spectre and Marty. And it never be a big deal made. You know, it was an older home, you know, in Mobile, Alabama. And just, she never made it to where we became afraid. Now, when we moved to Hartford, Alabama, the house we lived in there for years that I actually grew up in, it was crazy because we all kind of have the same story once we got grown and talked about it, where it seemed like the house had two different parts to it. As long as you stayed in the back of the house, it was always kind of warm and heartfelt. If you went to the front of the house where there was like a second living room, a little area, and then the dining room with the really tall ceilings in the kitchen, it was like cold. It was like you walked into a completely different house. And I did see when my uncle was passing, he'd had a stroke and he was getting ready to pass because we brought him home and he couldn't really talk, but you could hear him in there saying, you know, the little words he could say. And this one particular afternoon, we were watching TV in the den area, and all of this is in the back of the house. So I could see this tall, broad-shouldered guy go in my uncle's room. And I turned and looked, because I know that it's just us sitting here watching TV. And my mom noticed me, and she said, "So you saw it too?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "It's okay." She said, "That's my dad. He's going in there to talk to his brother." And you could hear, I couldn't hear the gentleman that I saw walk in there, but I could hear my Uncle Walter talk, you know, starting to form out the word he could say. And I just thought that was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
And I know I've seen this guy, you know, this tall guy with broad shoulders. I'm not thinking I saw, you know, something flash by my, I know I saw a guy walk in that room.
Yes, yes. So this is a full on apparition. And wow, that had to be quite the experience out of the blue.
Yes. Yes, it was.
In the area where in Alabama, was there like, were you exposed to like any folklore, any, you know, handed down beliefs about the paranormal?
No, I in Hartford, I know the house had been there for years. It was, like I said, it was an older home before my parents had gotten a new home built on the same property. But just the energies in there, the house was up off the ground. We used to crawl up under it and play back when I was in better shape. And I don't remember there ever being any tall tales as in when I lived in Hartford. Now, I do know there's a place around out here up in Dothan where there's like Indian mounds. And there's a place down in a little bitty town called Noma, Florida. It's right on the edge of Alabama where Florida and Alabama meets. There's a story about a woman that people have picked up. She had been murdered by her husband, and people have been picked up, have picked her up, you know, thinking they're giving her that just not be, you know, when I guess when they get where she's going, she's not there anymore.
Kind of the classic phantom hitchhiker.
Something similar to that happened in a place called Bellwood, Alabama. That's not too far from where I grew up, where there's these bridges. And this particular story that goes on there is that there's a woman, you'll see her in the back seat with the baby, and she's covered in blood. And we actually did an investigation on that bridge. And let me tell you this, Vincent, that was the craziest investigation, because before we went, my sister and her daughter, we just rode out there because it'd been years since I've been out there and I wanted to make sure I knew exactly where I was going. And my sister would, you know, she would ask a question and she'd say, "Is it okay if we come back?" And something would hit the bridge. Now, mind you, I took pictures. I recorded some stuff on my phone. And when we got ready to go back there that night, we had one of the co-founders, their truck caught on fire. And it was like all kind of crazy stuff happened. And to this day, right now, I have none of the stuff that we had that night. And it was outstanding investigation, because a lot of our people that are sensitive was able to tap into some things, and they didn't know what had went on at the bridge or what was going on. But it was just funny that the majority of evidence that we got, we have no clue where it is or what happened to it.
It seemed like almost like it was just wiped out.
Just gone.
Wow. Wow. Gone. And
it was a picture. The one picture in the woods, because I would just snap pictures and took pictures of the bridge, not even thinking I was going to catch anything, because it's you know, daytime, it's brought up in daytime. I'm just out there with my sister and niece. Really, I didn't think she was going to get no response from something hitting the bridge. And if I literally probably wouldn't have believed it had I not been there and saw it and heard it for myself. But there was this dark figure standing, and it looked like his head was kind of turned sideways, like you're looking at us like, what are you guys doing?
And this is in the daytime?
Oh, yeah. When I went through the pictures. Wow. And we were coming back on the back road as well. And we pulled over and just started snapping pictures of this tree. And that had something. I mean, it looked like a guy actually hanging from the tree and faces around the bottom of it. Wow. And once again, all of this stuff is like just gone.
Huh. Wow. That is really something. Yes. Did you get a particular like vibe, like an energy of we don't want you here, or more of a benign feeling, or not really any?
Well, when I went out that day during the day, I didn't really, it was a sense of something there, but it wasn't uninviting. It wasn't, I wasn't scared, especially after my sister had asked, can we come back? Is it okay for us to be here? But that night, the energy was so high with so much going on with everyone and their gifts tapping into different things, because that road, that story of the lady with the baby, I'm thinking that's not the only tale that has happened out that way. But it's just, you know, you could just feel like the energy of something wanting to say, let me tell my story, or let me be known that I'm here, or what happened.
Kind of something calling out to be heard.
Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. That is really interesting. You mentioned a little bit about your uncle being involved. Did you know, was he or anybody that you knew growing up, or for that matter, that you know now, involved in hoodoo or any of the kind of traditions similar to that?
Yes, my uncle was the guy that people would pay money to get out of court, or to, you know, just get out of trouble. I've seen him as a young girl, not really understanding dark magic or voodoo or a witch or being a witch doctor, not really understanding it. I've seen him call to the wind and the wind shows up.
Wow.
And he used to have a silver chain with a cat head on it. Not a real cat head, but it was like a, what do you call it? Like a
pendant?
Charm. Okay. And it was a cat head. And he would stand it up. I mean, he would have it and it would be sitting still. And the wind would just and blow. But yeah, I didn't hang around him as much, because my mother didn't believe in dark magic and stuff. So I don't know like how deep entailed that he believed. I just know that that's what he, when the times that I've actually talked to him before he passed, that those were some of the things that he did. And that, you know, he was the person that people went to when they needed to solve a problem or get out of trouble.
Yes, yes. Kind of the folk magic practice. Wow, that is fascinating. Are you mostly, would you say, focused on ghosts and spirits, or do you get involved with other areas of the paranormal?
Originally, I was just with the ghosts and spirits. And when we came up with different dimensions, we just opened it up to everything. Because I had a wonderful young lady come on and told me about her experience being you know, took with aliens. And wow. I have a gentleman who actually lives, I want to say he lives up top between Alabama and Tennessee, where him and his wife, they've had experience with like Bigfoot. And they really feel like there's another type of quote unquote animal, or I'm not exactly sure, my mind's went blank of what they, you know, the creatures of the unknown.
Oh, yes.
Like a dog, no? And they've, because they have all this land and they've lived out there, and they actually came upon a altar in their yard. They just found it.
Oh, wow.
Really strange to them, which is strange, period, you know, but
yes.
So I'm literally open to all of it now. I mean, anything, just, it could be glowing worms. I want to know how they got here, who put them here, where they come from. You know, can they talk to us?
Yes. Hey, I think that's a great attitude to have, you know, to really be open to the many dimensions of this thing. I have the belief that a lot of paranormal phenomena is connected, and that sometimes we're seeing different aspects of the same thing. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that, yes, that's kind of what I think. And that leads you in some very interesting directions. You know, sometimes people are thinking they're seeing one thing and it might be connected to something else, you know? Let me see. You mentioned you were part of a paranormal investigation team. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about it?
You went out on me for a minute, Vincent.
Can you
repeat the question, honey?
Sure. You mentioned you were part of a paranormal investigation team. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about that?
Oh, absolutely. We're still a team. Web Paranormal. We started with Stan and Teresa. They live in Web. That's how we came up with the name Web Paranormal, which is right outside of Dothan. And the three of us started WPG once we got off the other team that was actually here in the beginning. And we've been together about seven years now. We've had members to come and go. We've got a really, really good, strong team now. We've been to a lot of places around the area. Been to North Carolina to the battleship. We go to Union Springs quite often and do Pauley Jail. We've been down to, I can't think of the places outside of Mobile. So we've traveled, you know, a little bit with, when we're called upon, if we're needed. And we also do, you know, certain fundraisers to help, like Pauley Jail is considered like a historical site. So we often try to do fundraisers to help them, you know, restore that. And before COVID, we would go down to Cahaba and assist with another team that was actually over that fundraiser. That wasn't us. We just, you know, assisted with them when they did that before, like I said, before COVID. So we get together, we enjoy each other's company. We all have our own individual past that has been something with the paranormal or something in the other side. So it's always a great time. It's always a great time to sit with some of our team members who are empathic and that we can really learn from. And we just, you know, whenever we're called to go, we go.
And so people who are having maybe unwanted.
Did I lose you?
Oh, no, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I mean, the tech is just, it is what it is. We're going to be kind of in and out the whole whole time, but that'll be fine. I don't have the greatest audio system set up, but it kind of, to me, it's fine. It's kind of informal. It's like two people talking on the phone, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be okay.
Yes, it'll be fine. But so people contact your group when they're having unwanted or confusing or disturbing experiences going on in their home or in their life?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Sometimes we'll get a call from a group of young people who just want to, you know, be funny. So we have to deal with all of, we take every phone call serious because we never know until we actually go in and do, you know, an intake process and to see, and feel what's going on in the area before an investigation.
Yes. Do you get, what would you say you get the most of? Ghosts or poltergeists or any particular phenomena?
Can you hear me? I'm here, hon.
Oh, yes. What would you say you get the most requests about? Ghosts, poltergeists, any particular phenomena?
I think we get the most about people have watched TV and think that they're demons running through their house.
Yes.
You know, they have watched all the paranormal shows or, the real life supposed to be real life paranormal shows. And so if there's a glitch on the, on the light bulb, always a demon in the house.
Yes, I sometimes think the number of demons gets drastically exaggerated.
Yeah.
Would you say, I'll just spit it out. Have you ever encountered anything that you felt was really genuinely evil?
Okay. All I heard was, have you ever encountered anything? And then you went out on me.
Oh, anything that was really totally evil.
Hello?
Have you ever encountered anything that you thought was purely evil?
I haven't myself personally. I've been in places that I've gotten a really bad vibe where I wasn't comfortable and I just didn't stay. Because I'm not a demonologist and I do feel that there are demons out there. I just kind of, when I feel that something isn't right or it's off to the point where it's above my pay grade, I just remove myself out of the situation and, get the experts in that knows how to handle certain things. I've heard stories, I've sat with other paranormal teams or people who've been in situations where they've had stuff thrown. My mother-in-law, God bless her soul, was an evangelist. And before I started this was some years ago, she told me of a story about her and one of the other preacher ladies. This woman was like a snake crawling up a wall. And
wow.
So I knew that there is something dark in this world. I know that there's a possibility of any type of demonic activity. I just have not ran across something so to the point where, since I said my mother-in-law, I will say, let me tell you this quick story.
Sure.
We were spending the night with her. My kids were little then, and we were staying with her, and she had what people call a shotgun house. And that's just a house that the front doors, you just go straight through it, and the back door's in the back. Like you go through the living room, the bedroom, then there's the bathroom to the left, then there's the dining room and the kitchen is there, and then there's a back door, but you just go straight through. That's what they call a shotgun house.
Sure, like if you shot a shotgun through the front door, you hit the back door.
Yeah, straight on through the back door.
Okay, so, gotcha.
This particular night, and for her to be an evangelist, I always just kind of felt uneasy, and this was way before I got into the paranormal. But we had got in the bed and went to sleep. And she had these plaques that you have on the wall. And I knew that this plaque was gonna hit me. So that particular night, I had what they call the sleep paralysis while I was awake and I couldn't move. And I heard this thing standing in the door laughing at me. And it was a bad laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't move. I couldn't, shake and hit my husband. I couldn't do anything. I was just there. And I knew that thing was going to fall off the wall. And when it did, it fell off. And the point of it, it stuck me in my side.
Wow.
And a little while later, a couple of days later, I was talking to my other sister and I was telling her what happened. I said, you know what? I always get such an uneasy feeling. Sometimes at night when we're over there, And she wasn't there. She was, you know, going on a church retreat. And I said, but this thing was laughing at me. And I said, and the, when the plaque fell off the wall, it hit me in my side. And you could see like this red dot that was on my, you know, on my side where I've been hit. And she said, you know, I was watching something and it was saying how demons try to enter the body through a person's hip. And I was like, wow. Really? And so I just kind of really prayed about it then and didn't, you know, I didn't ever feel nothing from it, but I just always thought that that's a little bit crazy. I forget it most of the times. And had I not bought my mother-in-law up, I probably wouldn't even remember, but that was, I would say, the closest thing to something demonic that I can honestly say I've had experience with, because that laugh, it was literally laughing at me. The light was on. I could see it. I could see it in my mind, but I could hear the laugh clean as day, just laughing at me.
Oh, wow. That is really interesting. You mentioned you had sleep paralysis that night. Is that something mm-hmm. you've had off and on, or was that a one-time encounter?
I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't hear you.
You mentioned you had sleep paralysis that night. Is that something that you've had a lot in your life, or is that a one-time occurrence?
Okay, you went out on me a little bit. I think you're asking me, have I had sleep paralysis before?
Yes.
Okay. I've had it a few times. It's been a long time since I've had it. But I remember, you know, people of old would say that's the witch riding your back. If you would wake up and you're not able to move and you're just in that trance state where you just, you're not, but you see stuff, you hear stuff, and you know things are there, but you're just not able to, you know, do anything about it. But it's been a very long, long time since I've had that actually happen. And that's very scary. That itself is scary.
Oh, yes. I have not experienced that type of thing, but I know of many people, and it's sometimes our most terrifying experience. Yeah, the old hag phenomena is...
Yes.
A big deal. And it's all around the world. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Very interesting. Just to shift gears a little bit. Have you ever investigated any UFO type of phenomena?
I haven't been on a UFO investigation. I've just talked to people about it. I did have the luxury of my last assignment, which was out in Texas. Well, I started in Texas. I wound up in Oklahoma. The gentleman that I was riding with, he was telling me about where this Air Force base is. He said, you know, they're aliens. They come out here. And I literally could believe that because of just where it was. There was nothing out there. You know, there was like you could see a mountain in the distance and then just desert. Where if something was going to land, I don't know if anybody would actually pay attention to see it, or they might just think because there was a, I want to say it was Fort Bliss, maybe Fort Hood. I'm not exactly sure about the base, but the base was kind of farther off. So, you know, you would probably just think it's probably like a helicopter or one of the airplanes from that, you know, that military base. But I've never just been on an investigation, you know, before by myself, I mean, with anybody. I would love to, but I haven't been on one.
Yeah, so that always seems an interesting thing to me, too. You mentioned a couple who had some Bigfoot encounters.
Yes.
Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. The gentleman actually had a paranormal team, and he kind of started off like myself where he just did the paranormal. And let me make sure I spell this right. I think that either when they moved on this particular land, or it was they inherited the land. Anyway, they wind up with all this land, and they have dogs. And at night, they could hear something calling to the dogs. They would see the dogs run out and bark at something. And I guess him just using his, you know, senses and picking up on that there's something, you know, supernatural or bigger than what we know out in the woods. I believe that, I know I talked to one gentleman, I don't want to confuse the two, where he actually had found the footprints. But the couple, they said they would sit outside at night with the animals and you could hear them calling. And they know it wasn't wolves. They know it wasn't, you know, the dogs making that noise, and it would be in the distance. Whatever it was, they could you could hear it.
Kind of that like Bigfoot shriek that they make, or that people say they make.
Yes, I believe that that's what they were hearing. Wow. Now, something closer to home, and we haven't really just gotten out and looked at it, but my partners, they have a lot of land. And Teresa was telling me one day they went kind of out there, they was looking around, and it was like the woods had grew up to where they were, it was over. And they felt like maybe something had done that, that it just didn't grow that way naturally. And I could honestly believe that if there's a Bigfoot somewhere around here, that it's probably out there, because yeah, they have a lot of land with beautiful forests. And it's not that, you know, that's the advantage of being in the country, because it's not that many people out, I guess, until hunting season, that nobody, I don't know if anybody actually hunts on other people's property, but it would be interesting. It would be interesting to go and sit out and see what we could capture.
Yes. Yes, it would.
Yeah, discussed it. We just haven't really made up our mind, because I'm afraid of snakes.
I don't blame you there. My wife happens to be from Rome, Mississippi. And yes, there's no love lost with snakes there either. So yeah, I get where you're coming from.
Yes.
Now, this is just, I'm just asking, in Alabama, is there a difference between Bigfoot and the skunk ape?
Now, I've never heard the skunk ape. Vincent, I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay. I may have the location wrong. It might be Florida. I think I'm thinking of Florida, where there's like a kind of a smaller Bigfoot that stinks up the place and is called the skunk ape. That's just something I wondered if that was something you'd ever investigated or gone after.
No, I haven't heard of that one. So I can't even make a comment, because I've never heard. I'm sure we probably have somebody on the team that may have heard of it. I know that they came across like the dog man, or
oh really,
or the conversation has came across. Nobody's actually seen him. It's just been brought up in conversation that because there's a list, and I remember posting in different dimensions where we had like the Loch Ness monster, of course Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and the dog man, and there is a tale. Oh, and I follow this lady. I don't know her at all, but I follow her. She does tales of Alabama. I follow her on TikTok, and she does all these different tales about short stories, about stories. And she just, you know, says it real quick, because TikTok don't give you, I guess, but 30, 45 seconds.
Yeah, it's a couple minutes, but yeah, it's not long at all.
Right. She tells these different stories about stuff in Alabama, like the little girl at the graveyard, and she only comes in August. She tells about the green-eyed creature that's in, oh my God, and I want to say it's down near Mobile, but she does a phenomenal job. It's just her voice and the way she says it. I'll have to share it with you, so, you know, if you're interested in any of the stories. I've never spoke to her at all, but I just love to follow her, because she does all of her stuff is tales of Alabama and different thing that goes on here in different parts of Alabama.
That sounds really fascinating. I bet there's some great material there. I wonder if you could tell me this. Have you ever heard of little people like gnomes, elves, sprites, that type of thing in Alabama?
I've never heard of it. And I've never heard of them in Alabama. I have heard stories of little people and fairies.
Yes, yes, fairies, the fairy folk.
And so that was another reason I actually followed this lady in Alabama, just because of everything that she brings up in the stories, because, you know, she's done some research. So once she says it, I just go do some research too, just to, you know, see what people have said in this area, what people have seen. Like up in, when you go up to Washington State, a lot of people talks about the Sasquatch. A lot of folks have said they've seen them. They come in the backyard, yes, like bears, and, you know, but they don't try to bother them. And, you know, they just kind of, I guess, cohabit as best they can. So I don't think, I don't know. It would be very interesting to see some fairy people. I mean, I would love to see it.
Yes, the reason I asked is when my wife was a child in Mississippi, her mother warned her not to ever go if something calls your name, and not to go off into the woods because the sprites would get you. And that kind of, I was surprised to hear that. But yes, that was some folklore they had there, that the little people might take you away, especially if you're a child. And you might not be seen again. And so I'm just talking, you know, just throwing things around. But I've always find that interesting.
Like the call of the banshee. Now, you've heard of the banshee, right?
Now, I have, but maybe not the same thing. I'm thinking of like a spirit they have in Ireland that makes a horrible sound before somebody dies.
But yes. Cries of the banshee, and that's when you hear it. Now I've grown up hearing about that when you hear it, that means that death is coming. The same way they say if you sneeze with food in your mouth, you're going to hear about death.
Wow, that last one. that's a little scary. That's a little close to home.
It has always proven true, though. Even as a little girl, when you. And I'm very conscious even now if I'm sneezing, to just hurry up. If I'm eating something, hurry up and get it out. Just hurry up and swallow it. But I've especially down in the South here, that if you sneeze with food in your mouth, people will say you're going to hear of a death.
Wow.
And ever since I've been little, if I've sneezed with food in my mouth, I've heard of a death.
Wow. That's...
I don't know where that originates from or where it comes.
I don't know, but that... I'm gonna have to look into that one, because that's interesting. Wow. Let me ask you something, and this is just kind of off the wall. It is what it is. Okay. What do you think about reincarnation?
I think that there have been stories that has happened, which when it comes to children, that it is possible. I wouldn't rule it off the table. I wouldn't say that I'm not a believer. I just don't know. I would never say just no to it, but I do think that when you have different stories of kids that have come back and proven that, hey, you know, I was President Lincoln in another life.
Yes. So
I remember going to the place and to the theater, and I remember this, and this is where I died, and this is what happened. I just don't think we have the right to rule it out. I think, honestly, I believe that we are only limited by the things that we're taught as a child. I think if we were raised to just be open, hey, listen, this world is much greater than what we think it is. Like those wonderful creatures that live at the bottom of the sea that never sees light, but they're very beautiful and they light up. I think those are fascinating, but we don't know what's down there. I was watching the Bermuda Triangle, how these guys are trying to find this boat and what is the Bermuda Triangle. I think that's fascinating. So I don't think we should ever limit ourselves to thinking that, well, it's got to make sense. No, it doesn't. It just doesn't have to make sense.
I would totally agree with you. What we know is such a tiny fraction of what's really out there that we don't even know half the things we think we know. Right. There's a lot more out there. And yes, I'm glad you brought up the Bermuda Triangle, because I've always found that fascinating since I was a child. Just what all goes on deep under the sea. Because I think it's a lot. Underwater in general, I think a lot more goes on than what we're really aware of.
I was just saying
that I think a lot more goes on than what we're really aware of under the sea and underwater.
I lost you again, Vincent. Say, repeat that real quick.
I think a lot more goes on underwater than what we're really aware of.
Oh, I agree.
Yes. And
I would even go so far as to say that there probably really is like mer people, mermaids. And, you know, it might not be like the Little Mermaid that we see on the cartoons, but I wouldn't even be surprised if there's another type of life that lives up under here, up, you know, up under what we know.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very open to that possibility that there may be other intelligent species on this very planet, that the aliens don't need to be from another planet. They may be just alien to us.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
I was just going back to reincarnation for a second. Do you feel that you have ever lived before?
No, but I hope if I come back that I'll be rich this time.
That'd be very nice. It's always a plus.
I don't ever feel like that. But then again, I wouldn't. It's one of those things that I wouldn't say, well, you know, that this is my first time around. I don't feel as if I've lived before. But as I, you know, said, I don't know. I don't count it out. I do know that I have started the study of the Akashic Records, and I might be mispronouncing that, but that goes back into to studies of your past lives and stuff.
Oh, yes.
And that's a very...
I lost you for a second, but go ahead. We're getting in the Akashic Record.
I just recently, because I've heard that like they're the study of your past life, to really just get back deep into you more of in a spiritual way. So I'm very interested in really, since I'm home now, having some time to get into that, you know, just to see how deep that actually goes.
That is sounds absolutely fascinating. I've heard of that in connection with Edgar Cayce and just other people that have claim to be able to access that. And yeah, I have a great interest there myself.
Well, I've done just, I have a very good friend, and well, she's actually one of my best friends. She's in the conscious community, and she does a lot of readings with tarot cards and pendulums, and she's into the Akashic Records, and I might be mispronouncing it.
But, as far as I know, I think that's how you say it.
She's into it, and she understands it a lot better than me. I'm just on the surface where she's been studying it for years, but I am looking forward to really just getting in and see what it's all about.
Yes, that seems really interesting. I bet there's a lot there. Are you at all experienced with tarot?
I do have tarot cards. I'm just learning them. I do have pendulums. I do crystals. I have a lot of crystals, and I'm just learning. I'm in the process of learning them, how they operate, why they are the way they are. Because it was when I very first heard about tarot cards and pendulums and crystals, everybody was like, oh, you're going to hell. You know, you're worshiping the devil.
Yeah, there's a lot of hysteria over stuff like that.
But I had to understand one thing, that when you do anything, you have to set an intentions for it. What are your intentions when you do something? Because the Holy Bible itself can be misread and misused.
Oh, and yes, and has been many times.
Yes, we see that clearly, that the Bible can be misused, misquoted, you know, taken advantage of people. So when I sit and learn about vibrations, how everything is a vibration, which has been scientifically proven. Then I look at the crystals and I think about what they mean to me, like a rose quartz. It always represents love. And when I have one, or if I set it out, that is the energy I want to bring to the room. I just want to bring a good, peaceful love and kindness and healing and stuff like that, so that the room is filled with that type of vibration. And the people will feel it when they come. They'll feel welcome. They'll feel the love. They'll feel like they're wanted, as compared to being in certain places where you kind of get that feeling like, scared to ask for a piece of chicken. Everybody's looking at me funny. I don't know if I'm actually welcome, that I come to the wrong place. So with me, I always set an intention, always just to be on the positive note when I have my tarot cards. I just always pray, ask God for direction, and always read how they're used. And if I'm supposed to be the one that's using them, you know, if not, then I can, you know, pass them on like a set was passed on to me. So I always just ask permission and always pray. And that's even before we do an investigation, we always pray and always ask permission to come into this house, because it's not ours. Regardless if they passed on, it's still their house.
Yes, I think respect is very important in all of this. And that sounds like a really wise way to do things.
Oh, yeah, because you never want to, if you do things out of order, then that's when you start the karma clock. And that's what I call it. Your karma going to start. If you don't have the right intentions, because you can create good karma. I don't think we talk enough about that, you know, to create good karma. So when you plant good seeds, you get a good harvest. So I always try to be mindful of what I'm saying and what I'm doing, and set a good intention so that I don't set bad karma. I'm not using something in a negative way. I'm not here to try to keep your husband or your wife. I'm not the person for you to come to. I'm not that person. You want to go to somebody else, and you're trying to, because we had a young lady who thought that they put a curse on her. If you feel like somebody's put a curse on you, first of all, go seek God. But you want to go to someone that has experience in curses, because I don't put curses on people.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's not my intentions.
I've been told that anything you do negative with this stuff will come back on you so much harder than it did the person you did it to, that you don't need that trouble, you know?
Right.
That is what I've always been told.
I have to. I just feel like if you're in a bad situation, just pray for strength to get out of. You know, in some things I know warrants revenge. Because if, God forbid, if something happened to one of my children or grandkids, I'm not trying to hear, you know, pray about it. That's not.
I understand. I feel you there. Yes.
If it's where your spouse is trying to leave you, or just don't, you know, the marriage is not working, just let it go. I mean, that's easier said than done. But to try to go down that road of manipulating people's feelings and emotions, then you're asking for trouble.
Yes, yes. I don't think you want to use any of the stuff to weave a tangled web. No, you don't want that trouble.
I agree.
Just to change the subject a little, but not really all that much, you were involved in a pretty important investigation of what appeared to be a church, but it was something very different than what it appeared to be. And yes, there were some very cult-like things going on there. What would you like to tell us about that?
I think I lost you again.
You were involved and you did some, what I would say was some pretty great independent journalism, exposing a church that was really a cult. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I can tell you that the church is in Norfolk, Virginia. It's called Believer's House. And the way we got the investigation started is mainly what happened to the children at the Voice of Believers Christian Academy. When a young lady had passed away, she had been murdered by her boyfriend. But before she died, things had happened with her. And the mother had explained that her daughter felt like she had a lot of insecurities because of her time at the church, her going to the school and being at the church. So to make a long story short, the mother actually did a Facebook page. And one of the other students who I knew, because my kids, when all of them were the same age, made a statement saying that we were all hurt. We were all abused. So the light went off on my head, like, what do you mean? So I start calling my kids. I'm calling people I ain't talked to in years. And so a lot of the horror stories came up about what happened at the Academy, Voice of Believers Christian Academy, how the kids were not properly taught, how they were the staff who were very much under a spell. And I'm going to say, like, not necessarily a casting spell, but you were made to believe that you need to fast for 20 hours a day and you're only getting like 2 hours of sleep. You know, some of those people stayed in church all day long, gave all their money, gave everything. Majority of people were young. And this is how the manipulation started. Because it's easy for us on the outside to say, oh, you should have known better, you should have known this, you should know that. But when you don't know, you don't know. When you're young and you have no relationship with God, you don't know God, you might have said some prayers because somebody taught you how to pray, but you've never sat and had a relationship with God. You didn't grow up in the church. So here it is, you're a young person, you've been in the military, you know, some have had some hard lives, and you come to this church, and when you get there, all you see is people being blessed. Oh, you're blessed with money, you're blessed with cars, you're blessed with houses. That's all you see at first. You bought in, and once again, this is how song and vibration can play into this. You come in and the song is good and you're feeling good. You're laying down some of your burdens and you feeling like you're having this relationship with God. And this man is teaching you that, well, I'm the closest to God. You're literally going to have to go to God through me. I know God and God is telling me stuff about you. And you receive that because you don't understand prophecy. You just think that God done went and told somebody something about you, and that ain't how God operates. And people will say, well, you have to have your own relationship. Well, yeah, but right now you had no relationship. So you're thinking that this is the best relationship that you can have. So he done a lot of manipulation when it came to young women, you know, just 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 year old ladies who was in the military. Like I said, didn't have family backup, didn't have, some of them did, but a lot of them were loners. And this was their first time having a church experience. And why wouldn't you want to be part of a family where everybody's showing you all this love? Because it didn't start out. I know when I was only there like 2003 to 2005, something like that. I wasn't there but a few years, but you have this connection. Now, once you made it, you want to get into what they call the leadership, where you had a title like junior deacon, deacon, missionary, because then you was like on the inner circle where you know, you got to hang out with the pastor, you got to do this, you got to do that. But those people went through hell and they did it thinking that, okay, this is my way to, I'm on my way to heaven, this is for God. And I think, I honestly believe that's why a lot of them were blessed, because their intentions were done right, even though he is not.
Yes, so, and that they weren't bad people, they were just manipulated by somebody who was really presenting a false image.
And the sad part about it is, and I've said this several times, the congregation had grew so big the time that I was there. There were three services. Had he not let power and the attention get the best of him, he would have had a mega ministry. He had people who were willing to lay their lives down for him in the name of God, just to protect, quote unquote, the man of God.
Wow.
Because there was a woman that came up to the church of a woman that he slept with. The husband was going to come and beat him up, but everybody went out there to protect him. And then, of course, he lied and said, you know, made the woman look bad, but that's that manipulation. And literally, when I watched Jim Jones, outside of the Kool-Aid effect at the end of Jim Jones, that's just how Bernard Chaney started this.
Wow.
It was just drawing people in, loving kindness. And let's get in. Oh, Sister Shawana is sick. Let's just go over there and bless her. Let's bless her. Let's show her some love. Get a stranger out the audience. Well, you know, thank you. Come up here and put a bowl in the hand and everybody sow seeds into this stranger. So, of course, this person who done come off the streets, who then had a hard life. I'm in this church. These people showing me love. They ain't judging me. They give me money. It's, you know, you thinking I'm in the right place. I see the move of God. No, you seen the move of an animal who was a wolf in sheep clothing. And because you didn't even know that there were wolves, that's why you was manipulated. That investigation is still going on now. We still protesting because it's been over a strand of 20 something years. It takes time, but we got time. So we're going to keep going.
And yes, and just to make it clear for the listeners, this is not just like allegations. There have been lawsuits filed. There's people who've made sworn statements. This has gone through some of the legal process. I mean, this is a very real thing that's been going on. And there's some major improprieties there with money and with manipulation and mental abuse and sexual misconduct and a whole lot of things that were very bad.
Yes, absolutely. A lot.
And just on my own personal note, I saw some things like this, not this, but very similar to this when I was in the military. And I think sometimes these movements, these cultic church movements, kind of thrive around military bases, where you have a lot of very young people away from home and kind of used to a system of authority and following orders. And that sometimes is preyed upon and manipulated. So yeah, that's something. Yeah, that's something that happens.
And that's a good point, Vincent, because we have one of the guys that's really up front with us that's helping protest, and he actually was a junior deacon there at the church. And his wife, she's his ex-wife, and she has shared her story about how horrible things was. But he said those words too. He said that, you know, when you're young in the military, you're taught to obey orders. So that's the mindset that's already in your head. And then when you're young and you don't know, you don't have a relationship with God, you don't have any family, there's nobody to say, hey, something ain't right. Something ain't right about it. But this is the thing too, that he used for manipulation. Those that were young and that had family members that would say that, he would try to get out in front of it, as they say, get out in front of the story. He would say, your family is going to try to separate you. Your family's not going to understand your gift. When the family did come, people feeling like, oh, he warned me about this. He warned me about that you were going to try to separate me from the church. That's the devil. No, honey, that was manipulation.
Yes, a lot of times when people's family were looking out for them, yeah.
Yeah, it was deep as far as some of the things that they went to do stuff. And people were living, people were giving their whole checks in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, to this man, to the church. And they were sleeping in the church with their children. This man would go home to a $1 million mansion, eating steaks and eating crab legs. And he would say, well, you know, we fasting, but he didn't have to fast because of whatever health issue, or he's the man of God and this and that. But everybody else had to fast, and people did it.
Wow. And that's terrible. I thought you did a really great expose with that. And it's multi-part, and it's on your, you know, It's on your podcast, and I was really impressed with that.
You know, went out on me again, Vincent.
I was just really impressed with the expose you did on that group, and it's on your podcast, and I thought that was really great job. Are you picking me up here, Joanna? I think we're having a little bit of technical difficulties.
We are.
Just a little. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but you're going in and out.
Okay. Okay. No, I was just complimenting the investigative journalism you did there and everything that's on your podcast. And I think that couple was in the Navy. And yeah, I listened to that episode and I was really impressed.
They were. Yeah. He's still in the, in the front run. Helping us, and she is too, her sister, and we've got quite a few people that are still saying, "Hey, we're gonna fight until we get justice served."
That's a really important cause. Yes. Not to change the subject too hard, but you are a long haul trucker.
Yes.
And so you see a lot of the country.
I do.
What, if anything, what would you say are some weird things you've seen while you've been out on the road?
You have completely went out on me, Vincent.
Okay. I was wondering if you'd ever seen anything particularly unusual when you've been out on the road.
Hello?
Yes. I was just wondering if you'd seen anything particularly weird while you've been out on the road, long haul trucking.
Vincent, you said, did you see anything? And then you went out on me.
Yes, anything weird while you've been out on the road trucking?
Okay. I haven't really seen, I've seen a few things that was unexplained. The good thing about the job I do now, I go from different places and I'm able to stay there for a while. So like when I was in Oklahoma, I actually was able to join a team and we went on an investigation. I went on an investigation with the team. And that place was really, really, really interesting. It was like a time warp as well. Downstairs, three levels to it. And downstairs was really warm, even though you could, feel a little activity. The second layer seemed like it was odd, but the third one was like you went into a completely different world.
So wow.
It was like being in a time warp, the whole building.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Am I still here?
Oh, yes. I've got you. No, I can hear you. Well, Shawna, I think we've been going for about an hour. Is there anything you'd like to mention as we kind of wrap up?
We enjoyed it. I hope and pray that everyone will stay tuned to In Different Dimensions when we...
I think maybe you want to repeat that. I think we kind of lost you right after Different Dimensions.
Like the podcast and live. We do have an upcoming event in September.
And I'm missing you right now on right after September. You said the word September, that you were having an activity, something going on in September.
Yes, we're going to, Web Paranormal is hosting their first ParaComic-Con. In Delville, Alabama, we're going to have that going on. And we're still, protesting in Norfolk, Virginia. So We're just here. We're out here doing what we do.
Sounds great. I'd really love to make it to that paranormal Comic Con, you say?
Yes.
It's
the Deep South. I'll actually send you some information on it. When I got in this weekend, I'm going to be getting with Stan and Teresa because they kind of put everything together. And I'll get some flyers and stuff over to you so you'll see it.
Oh, sounds great. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'd love to do that if I could.
Wonderful.
So let's see. Do you have any, and I realize you've just like kind of come back home within the last few days. Do you have any projects planned for the near future, or are you just, kind of catching your breath here for a little bit?
You said, do I have anything planned as far as the paranormal?
Yes, just in the near future.
I'm sure we have, investigations that are coming up. We have there's a dinner and investigation this weekend at Pauley Jail in Union Springs, Alabama. That's this weekend. That's going to be where you can investigate and spend the night in the jail and stay in the graveyard there. They have a graveyard that's got some really, really old tombs there. And whatever investigation that comes up while I'm home, we'll definitely be doing that.
Sounds really interesting. Please, by all means, keep in touch. I really hope this will be only the first of many times that you're on the Weird Part here. And I've really enjoyed having you on.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed being on. And you just let me know if you ever need me, ever need us. We are here in support of you. So we got you covered.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'll definitely be catching that in the future. Well, folks, this has been The Weird Part. I am your host, Vincent Treewell. My special guest tonight has been Shawana Coleman, and we look forward to hearing more from her. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Good night, everyone.
All right, I'm going to stop recording, but
okay.